One of the most wonderful events in my walk as a Christian was the day that I realized that my father, in all of his wretchedness as an irresponsible alcoholic and gambler, that he was God's perfect choice of a father for me, for my life. That was a wonderful thing because that allowed me to see my father in a whole new light. Despite all of his failings, despite all the wretchedness of his life, he was God's perfect choice for me. I called my father up that Father's Day, I don't know how many years ago it is now, and I told him that I appreciated him. I appreciated that God had given him to me as a father, that I was grateful for him. Actually, I didn't call him. I called my mother to do that. Actually, I saw my father in person to do that because there's another aspect of it. I called my mother to tell her. I actually went to see my father. I was on a business trip, and we went out to a Sambo's restaurant, which was like Denny's. They have them in different parts of the country. And we were sitting across the table from it, and I can remember it was the very first time ever I had ever seen tears come to my father's eyes. And he acknowledged that he was a miserable failure as a father, as a husband, as a provider. Something special grew between us then at that moment, a new relationship with my father, because I was able to unconditionally accept him as God's perfect choice for my life, regardless of what he was like before. A new relationship began, and he came to our home and spent a couple of weeks twice in North Carolina, and he spent a week or two here before he died, now almost 3 years ago. If we didn't have that moment, I don't think that it would have opened up the way it did for my children to get to know their grandfather, who they never knew before that. They just knew him as that person that everybody talked about, the person that my sister in her bitterness refused to come to her wedding. I'm grateful to God that I don't have that kind of bitterness toward my father because I realized who he was in God's plan. With that thought in mind, I can tell you that before that moment, it wasn't easy to think of my father because my childhood remembrances of my father were not good. They were remembrances of hiding in a back room in the house with my mother, with all the children all huddled together, waiting for my father to drink enough to pass out and go to sleep so that we could come back into the home and move about. I can remember my mother sending me in to see if he was falling asleep yet. I can remember sitting for hours listening to my father use curse words and make them up as he goes. And so my childhood experience, my remembrances of my father were not good remembrances. But my remembrance of my father is a wonderful remembrance because of what happened later on. And you know, as I think of my father and all of the potential that he had in his life, and I told on another occasion all the potential, everything that God allowed to pass through his hands. He was a carpenter. He had 3 separate contracting businesses that completely fell apart because of his irresponsibility and his drinking and gambling. Lost a whole bunch of property that my mother inherited from her parents, and then ended up living in a tenement, cold water flat in the city after all that potential going through his hands. You know, it's easy to give up on responsibility. It's easy to give up on responsibility. That's why so many fathers go by the wayside, because it's easy to give up on responsibility. If you would turn with me to the book of Joshua, I'd like to read 3 verses in Joshua, and then I'd like to share with you a few thoughts about being a dad. Joshua chapter 1 in verse 7 says, "Only be strong and very courageous, that you may observe to do according to all the law which Moses my servant commanded you. Do not turn from it to the right hand or to the left, that you may prosper wherever you go. This book of the law shall not depart from your mouth, but you shall meditate in it day and night, that you may observe to do according to all that is written in it. For then you will make your way prosperous, and then you will have good success. Have I not commanded you? Strong and of good courage. Do not be afraid, nor be dismayed, for the Lord your God is with you wherever you go." The same grace which was sufficient for those who went before us is still available today. In verse 5, God tells Joshua, "No man shall be able to stand before you all the days of your life. As I was with Moses, so I will be with you. I will not leave you nor forsake you." And that's a promise. And then he repeats that promise again in verse 9. He says, "For the Lord your God is with you wherever you go." It's like God is saying to Joshua, "I was with Moses, and I will be with you also." God has, in this passage, he's commanded Joshua to take up Moses' task of leading the children from the wilderness into the promised land. He's been placed in a leadership role, and there is a key to being successful in that role. The key to effective leadership is the Word of God. The key to effective leadership is the Word of God. Paul told Timothy in 2 Timothy 1:14, that good thing which was committed to you, keep by the Holy Spirit which dwells in us. That task that's been given to you, keep it by the Holy Spirit. So effective leadership is Spirit-led leadership. And God tells Joshua three things he tells him to do there in verse 8. He says, meditate on it, speak from it, and act upon it. He says, this book of the law shall not depart from your mouth, but you shall meditate in it day and night, that you may observe to do according to all that is written in it. For then you will make your way prosperous. Then you will have good success. The leadership of a dad is leading a family to obey God's word by example. It's not enough to hear and read God's word. It's not enough to commend and admire God's word. It's not enough to know and remember God's word. It's not enough to talk and discuss God's word, but we must do it and to do according to all that is written. Always and always. Look at verse 8 again. He says, that you may observe to do according to all that is written in it, for then you will make your way prosperous. Then you will have good success. It's not what we want, but what God wants is what matters. Even what we do not like of what God has to say to us. What he tells us to do, if we don't like it, it's what he says is what matters. We don't get to pick and choose. We'd like to pick and choose. And often we do pick and choose, but that's not God's plan. God's plan is that we do observe to do according to all that is written in God's word. But God doesn't just tell us to do it, does he? He says do it, and then he gives us a promise. There's a promise of success. And then there's a reminder that he's the one that gives us a task. He says, observe to do according to all that's written in it, for then you will make your way prosperous, and then you'll have good success. And then what he does, he reminds us that he's the one that called us. He says, have I not commanded you? Be strong and of good courage. Do not be afraid. Don't be dismayed, for the Lord your God is with you wherever you go. Those that make the word of God the rule for their life, do well. And so what I say to each one of you who are fathers, and I say to myself, because this message is one of those messages that's going to speak more to me than it may speak to any one of you. I hate that when that happens. But if I'm going to have integrity, I'm going to have to preach what it says, whether I'm failing in it or not. But be a dad. There's a difference between being a father and being a dad. There's a big difference. God says, be strong and of good courage. Those who are doing their duty as a dad, they have good reason to be strong and courageous. Because God promises he's going to give them what they need. You know why? Because as a father, as a dad, you're doing God's work. He's the one that placed you in that role. He's the one that ordained you to that position. You're doing his work. Do you think of it that way when you think about being a dad? Or think about being a father? That you are actually working for God, doing his work? He's the one that chose that these children, this family, is under your leadership. You're working for God. You're not working for yourself. So let me share with you quickly three qualities a father must have to be a dad. The first one is he must be teachable. In order for a father to be a dad, he must be teachable. Ask God how to raise your children. And if you're old enough that your children are raised and gone from your home, well, you have your grandchildren in your home, don't you? And you still have the opportunity to give advice to your children, don't you? You see, this role as parent, it never runs out. You know, it just goes on and on and on. Some people raise their children and their grandchildren, and some of them are raising their great-grandchildren. But ask God how to raise your children. Psalm 127, verse 1 says, unless the Lord builds the house, they labor in vain who build it. Unless the Lord guards the city, the watchman stays awake in vain. Psalm 25, I'm not going to read it, but Psalm 25 talks about all this, that if we're going to have success as leaders of our homes, that it has to be with God's leadership. With his strength, with his wisdom. Take the time and read Psalm 25. It's pretty long. A father must be teachable. Ask God how to raise your children and then learn from your children. Ephesians chapter 6 and verse 4 says, and you fathers, do not provoke your children to wrath, but bring them up in the training and admonition of the Lord. If you're not going to provoke your children to wrath and you're going to raise them up in the admonition of the Lord, then you got to pay attention to them. You got to learn from them. In Colossians chapter 3 and verse 21, it says, fathers, do not provoke your children lest they become discouraged. How do you do this? How do you avoid not discouraging your children as you train them? How do you avoid provoking them to wrath when you're trying to train them? You know how you do that? You remember your own childhood. You remember that you were once a child. You remember your own childhood and remember what frustrated you as a child with your parents. Not because they didn't let you do whatever you wanted. I'm talking about the valid things about when you think about your parents and then there's something that frustrated you about the way that they dealt with you and the way that they responded to you and reacted to you. Remember those days and then you'll have some wisdom on dealing with your own children. You can learn from your children. First of all, a father must be teachable to be a dad. Second, he must be tenacious. Walk your talk. You profess Jesus Christ. Walk your talk. Hold on to the truth of God's word. Joshua 24:15, the end of this book, it says, choose for yourselves this day whom you will serve. And then he goes on, talks about choosing the world or choosing God. And then he ends it by saying, but as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. You set the standard for your home. Be tenacious. Because you know what? Any dead fish can float down the river. Any dead fish can float down the river. It takes a fighter to swim against the current. So be tenacious. Hold on to the truth of God's word and then teach your children to love God. Deuteronomy chapter 6 and verse 4. Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God, the Lord is one. You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your strength. And these words which I command you today shall be in your heart. You shall teach them diligently to your children. And shall talk of them when you sit in your house, when you walk by the way, when you lie down and when you rise up. You shall bind them as a sign on your hand, and they shall be as frontlets between your eyes. You shall write them on the doorposts of your house and on your gates. You need to be aggressive in teaching your children to love God, taking every opportunity you can to teach them, and then taking advantage after you've done that of teaching them in every way and every situation. You then need to take advantage of the teachable moments when your children find themselves in a situation where what you've been teaching them applies and you're able to then show them how to apply that truth in their life. Take advantage of those teachable moments, because if you read on in Deuteronomy over there in verse 20, Moses is telling all the people to teach them. And then in verse 20 he says, when your son asks you in time to come saying, what is the meaning of the testimonies, the statutes, and the judgments which the Lord our God has commanded you? Then you shall say to your son, we were slaves of Pharaoh in Egypt, and the Lord brought us up out of Egypt with a mighty hand, and the Lord showed signs and wonders before our eyes, great and severe, against Egypt, Pharaoh, and all his household. Then he brought us up that he might give us the land of which he swore to our fathers, and the Lord commanded us to observe all these statutes, to fear the Lord our God for our good always, that he might preserve us alive as it is this day. Then it will be righteousness for us, if we are careful to observe all these commandments before the Lord our God as he commanded us. You see, we teach our children so that we might have teachable moments. We can show them how to apply this truth. And then, in those teachable moments, when you bring back the remembrance of the things and you show them how it applies, they learn that lesson for life. They remember that message. They remember what you taught them for life. So be aggressive in teaching your children to love God and then seize those teachable moments. And then you know what? Love your children's mother. Ephesians chapter 5 and verse 25 says it so well. Husbands, love your wives just as Christ also loved the church and gave himself for her, that he might sanctify and cleanse her with the washing of water by the word, that he might present her to himself a glorious church, not having spot or wrinkle or any such thing, but that she should be holy and without blemish. So husbands ought to love their own wives as their own bodies. He who loves his wife loves himself. For no one ever hated his own flesh, but nourishes and cherishes it, just as the Lord does the church. For we are members of his body, of his flesh and his bones. For this reason, a man shall leave his father and mother and be joined to his wife, and the two shall become one flesh. This is a great mystery, but I speak concerning Christ and the church. Nevertheless, let each one of you in particular so love his own wife as himself, and let the wife see that she respects her husband. Love your children's mother. Colossians chapter 3 and verse 19, it says, husbands, and then it gets tough. It says, husbands, love your wives and do not be bitter toward them. Adds a little bit more to it. Husbands, love your wives and do not be bitter toward them. And then, over there in 1 Peter, which is, I think, is in our Sunday school lesson for next week. 1 Peter chapter 3 and verse 7 says, "Husbands, likewise, dwell with them with understanding, giving honor to the wife as to the weaker vessel, and as being heirs together of the grace of life, that your prayers may not be hindered." Love your children's wife. You know, this is the area where we often fall so far short. This is the most difficult job that I have. This is the job that I fail in the most, is loving my children's wife. It's easy to get bitter. It's easy to not understand. It's easy to be more concerned about myself than my wife. I don't mean emotional love. I'm talking about that active love, that 1 Corinthians love. That's the love I'm talking about. That love that doesn't keep a record of wrongs. That love that doesn't rejoice in evil, but rejoices in the truth. That love that isn't rude. That love, all those things of 1 Corinthians, that active love. That's not an easy love. We can only do that by God's grace. That's the most difficult job I have, and that's where I fail the most. Maybe you all do a much better job than I do, but I trust that you have a little difficulty with it from time to time. And so second, a father must be tenacious to be a dad. And the third and final is that he must be transparent. Communicate to your children with your heart. Allow your feelings to be involved. Galatians chapter 6 and verse 2 says, "Bear one another's burdens and so fulfill the law of Christ." Particularly in the world that we live in today, our children have burdens that we can't even imagine. Our children have burdens that we can't even comprehend. And the only way we're going to be able to help them bear those burdens is if we communicate with our children with our heart, as if we're transparent. Paul said it in 1 Thessalonians in chapter 2 and verses 7 and 8. He says, "But we were gentle among you, just as a nursing mother cherishes her own children. So affectionately longing for you, we were well pleased to impart to you not only the gospel of God, but also our own lives, because you had become dear to us." Paul is saying, we communicated with our heart. We were transparent with you. We gave you our very life. And we saw Jesus do the same thing over there in John chapter 11, when Lazarus had died, and he went there to see Martha and Mary. And when Mary came out and heard that he was there and came out to him, and in John chapter 11, in verse 32, it says that when Mary came to Jesus where he was and she saw him, she fell down at his feet, saying to him, "Lord, if you had been here, my brother would not have died." Jesus didn't respond and say, "Just stand back and watch what I'm going to do. I let him die and be dead for a few days so that I could show you this." No, that's not how he responded. It says, "Therefore, when Jesus saw her weeping and the Jews who came with her weeping, he groaned in the spirit and was troubled. And he said, 'Where have they laid him?' And they said to him, 'Lord, come and see.' It says, Jesus wept. And then the Jews said, 'See how he loved him.'" If a father is going to be a dad, he must be transparent. Do you have children? Then you're a father. But are you a dad? Are you teachable? Are you tenacious? Are you transparent? Of course, as you see, if you happen to be sitting here, all of you ladies and those of you who aren't fathers could have stepped out of the room because none of this would apply to you at all. But that's not the truth, is it? Because the reality is that much of the stuff that speaks to one spills over and touches our lives, because the principles that are involved are universal for all of us. Because the surrender that's necessary for a father to become a dad in his role as father are necessary for us to become effective servants for Jesus Christ as we respond to our Heavenly Father. My invitation for us as fathers to become dads and for all of us is from Paul's letter to the Romans in chapter 12, where he says, "I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable to God, which is your reasonable service. And do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God." My invitation is simply to surrender your life to the Lord, that if you're a father, you can be a dad, that you might be an effective servant of your Father in heaven. Surrender your life to be teachable, to be tenacious for truth, and to be transparent as his servant.